Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Danny Korchmar talking to you. You're listening to Pantheon Podcasts.
History in five songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Hello once again, Martin Popoff back for another episode of History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good folks at Pantheon. We are part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, available on Spotify, iTunes, Podbay, Megaphone, over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, this episode is one that basically had to get done because it bookmarks another episode. We did an episode way back when, I think it was episode 8 or something like that, called Dirty Hair Metal. We've also done one on Hair Metal Goes Grunge, something that happened in the 90s. And very recently, a few episodes back, I did one, I believe I called it Blues for Metalheads, where we looked at, big 70s bands that were bringing in elements of the British blues boom and modernizing. And on that one, you know, I thought I may still do another episode that looks like, that looks at modern bands that have a very bluesy influence that would still appeal to metalheads. But this one, and actually that brought in a couple of the bands we're going to talk about here. But, we are going to stick to the hair metal genre. So, yeah, bluesy hair metal, episode 63. Bluesy hair metal goes with our dirty hair metal episode. And there's a little bit of overlap. But not much, because in that episode, to refresh your memory, we looked at Faster Pussycat, LA Guns, Skid Row, Love Hate, and kind of the band that started it all, Guns N' Roses, I would say. But this is more at the blues end of things. And, some of these bands I like, and some of these bands I was not that much of a fan of. I didn't spend a lot of time with these bands. But yeah, one of these bands I really, really do like. I think, you'll hear my enthusiasm for them when we get there. But almost more interesting is a little bit of an analysis of kind of where this all comes from. I mean, obviously it does come from the British blues boom, but not so much all of the British blues boom, but more so Led Zeppelin. You know what? I'm actually going to talk about them in a little more detail, i.e. the origins, when we talk about each one. But just to give you the brief story, you know, I always consider sort of the brief timeline of this. Basically, through Led Zeppelin, through Aerosmith, and then into the late 70s with Van Halen. Now, Van Halen is not so much, you know, a truly bluesy band, but there's a little bit of that Aerosmith sort of danger, raggedness, you know, just kind of a bluesy ethic that you get out of some of the things they do. Maybe you could call it a jammy ethic. But somehow there's a lot of Van Halen comes out in some of these bands we're going to talk about as well. All right, so we'll look at a little more of the origins as we move along. But let's take a listen to our first selection. This is Cinderella with "The More Things Change."
Come on.
right. So Cinderella is a very interesting band in this whole thing. I mean, basically, when you think about hair metal, you really think about Poison and Cinderella, and then people talk about the W bands, Winger and Warrant and Whitesnake, right? Whitesnake we're going to talk about a little more because that's kind of an interesting thing in this. Cinderella, massive band, though. Their first song, our first album, Night Songs, goes 3 times platinum. Long Cold Winter goes 3 times platinum. We are up into Heartbreak Station 1990, and this is kind of an interesting thing here. I'm giving you these chronologically, but, you know, this kind of does go with our grunge episode in the hair metal goes grunge things. They're looking for other things to do, so they're looking to expand beyond kind of the roots of hair metal, which are the likes of Quiet Riot and Rat and Twisted Sister and Dokken, where it's more of a pure Sunset Strip sort of sound. So blues is one thing that they looked at to grab onto some sort of integrity, to bring some integrity back to what they're doing. So Cinderella, right out of the gates, there was an excitement level around them somewhat because they were quite bluesy. In Tom Kiefer, you had basically the second coming of Steven Tyler, but he's holding a guitar too. And this really ragged voice that almost doesn't even sound human. I mean, it's not, you know, people always talk about that whiskey-soaked voice or the Rod Stewart voice, you know, a la coming through Peter Criss and Ace Frehley, that kind of thing. But this is beyond a Rod Stewart voice, and it's almost a comical sort of sound. And I know, I was not a big Cinderella fan at this time. I did not like the productions either. I just found them really soupy and reverby and noisy. But what you hear on this song, okay, so this album in itself, I mean, and what you hear in this song as well is definitely a lot of that Aerosmith ethic coming through, but there's a lot of bluesiness in what they do. There's slide guitar with this band quite often. There's horns, there's kind of a Rolling Stones ethic. So Aerosmith had that thing that comes through the Rolling Stones. So you're getting a lot of that here, but you're getting it in kind of a big hair metal band. Now, the other thing is they were from out east, so they're not actually from LA. So that even gives them a little bit of extra oomph. You know, people kind of looked at Cinderella in this whole thing where, yeah, they kind of looked silly and they had the whole, you know, this is part of the bluesy hair metal thing too. You're moving into that gypsy look, you know, that Steven Tyler thing where, you know, there's just this additional authenticity to it. It's a little bit of a, you know, with the cowboy boots and everything, it's a little more, it's a little more down home and rootsy. And so this band did get, you know, they did get a look in, they did get a listen. And obviously they did with 2 records going 3 times platinum. This is like Styx, right? Styx is always the band that reminds me of the triple platinum band, regularly band. It's funny, you know, some bands go diamond and sell 7 times platinum, and some bands have a lot of golds or whatever, but there's not too many bands that are in this really nice range where, you know, big, big record sales, but not, you know, not the diamond record sales. So let's move on. Our second selection, take a listen to this. This is Badlands with Whiskey Dust. All right, so this is a really interesting case. You know, if Cinderella comes more from Aerosmith and the Stones, I would say Badlands, on the first album, come a little bit more from Whitesnake. Now, I want to talk about Whitesnake because, you know, I'm not including Whitesnake in this thing because, you know, I steadfastly don't want to call them purely a hair metal band, and I didn't want to give an example. In fact, if I put something in later from here, it wouldn't even sound that particularly bluesy. But Whitesnake really came from, you know, I consider there to be essentially three eras of Whitesnake before the breakup. And the first one is the very bluesy hard rock band. Before they even had songs where it sounded like they were going to be hits, and they were kind of struggling. The second era I consider almost like the Kiss era of Whitesnake, where the songs are really stripped down, really straightforward, but they're still pretty bluesy. And then the last era is the overblown hair metal era, where, you know, the hair is all platinum, you know, highlights and all that kind of thing, and the massive John Sykes sound and Steve Vai and Adrian Vandenberg and all that stuff. But you know, they did have this early era, and I consider the first Badlands album, the self-titled album, a little bit of more of like an influence from Whitesnake. Maybe a cross between the middle era and the second era. It's a little more stadium rock and a little more straightforward, but I wanted to play you something from Voodoo Highway, because this is where they really start getting bluesier, and it was just very self-evident right from the start that they were kind of on their way down. The trajectory was not going to be big with this. You could tell with this album, because it is definitely not as hooky. It's a little more, what would you call it? Jammy, rudimentary, definitely not as heavy, definitely not as hair metal-y and power chordy. And you can hear that in this song, Whiskey Dust. So yeah, still somewhat of a Whitesnake influence, but I think, you know, you might want to bring in, you know, all those bands everybody talks about that I can never become a fan of for some reason, like Humble Pie and The Faces. You know, I'm just not a big fan of these bands, right? But you're getting a little bit of that in here. And Jakey Lee is just, like, he's a total artist. That's the thing with the guy. He basically is following his muse, and you can hear that in the later material as well, the Red Dragon Cartel and all that stuff. What was that weird solo album called? Pink Mist or something? So this is a guy, and you know, even the look of the guy, right? You know, even him with a lot of the bracelets and the kind of gypsy look to him and stuff, you know. So this is all part of the visual virtue signaling, if you want, that shows that, you know, I'm not a hair metal guy, I'm a roots rock guy. And frankly, again, you know, it all comes back to kind of the fashion sense of Steven Tyler, as basically channeled a little bit through, you know, the more outlandish stuff that the Stones would wear or Led Zeppelin. But really, Steven Tyler is the guy that basically, you know, he's almost like the grandfather of this bluesy metal thing, because, you know, hair metal just in general, even the dirty hair metal thing and the standard hair metal thing, whatever. I mean, a lot of it. Aerosmith is a big, big part of it. Okay, so that's it for Bad. Well, let me just say this about Badlands. So, just to run the trajectory, I mean, basically this was it for them. They had the two major label records. This came out in June of 91. So again, very important year, because in September 91, that's when we get Nirvana coming, and these bands were always going to be on the chopping block anyways. So they are on the chopping block because of grunge, but there was this big trend to try something more authentic, even as, you know, off in the horizon, they were seeing grunge coming down the pipes. So basically, it kind of all started with Guns N' Roses. So you had this dirty hair metal thing crossed with the bluesy hair metal thing. But basically, the theme of both of those is they were getting away from the early Poison hair metal thing, or the, you know, or Quiet Riot or Dokken or Twisted, right? Or Rat, you know, something just a little more straightforward, although I always considered Rat pretty cerebral. But yeah, so you hear these bands trying something before, you know, they go into the thing we covered in the other episode, when they all lost their major deals and were essentially trying something a little more grungy. You know, and I'm not saying that comes from an insincere place. I mean, you just get excited about current music and influences, and you try these certain things. But this was kind of the last thing they were trying on their own, not being influenced by grunge, this bluesy hair metal thing. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. All right, back again here on History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff. We are calling this Bluesy Hair Metal, episode 63. Our third selection is, well, let's take a listen, we'll discuss. This is Great White with I Want You. I want you. All right, so I wanted to pick this one. You know, one thing I wanted to do with all of these picks, I didn't want to pick like a standard blues, like a stripper blues or a da-da-da-da-da-da, anything like that, and I didn't want to pick like a straight bluesy ballad, because believe me, all these bands have a bunch of that stuff, and that's another thing, you know, bands get into when you're a bluesy hair metal band. You have... across the album, you're definitely going to have some ballads. You're definitely going to have some Aerosmith stuff. You're probably going to have a big, large blues as well. So I wanted to keep you entertained at least as well, right? So this is from Psycho City. And again, Great White was a band a little bit like Cinderella, that they got an extra sort of look in because they had... they had some rootsiness to them. They had this this aura of authenticity to them. And theirs comes from kind of a Led Zeppelin thing in Jack Russell, who had this great voice, but it is kind of a Robert Plant sort of voice. And you hear a little bit of that in this song I picked for you here. Now, again, I wanted to stress, you know, we are going chronological. So this is from Psycho City. I mean, they had a platinum album. They had a double platinum album. They had a gold album just before this. But this one, you know, the logo's gone. The look is different. I think, what has it got here? I think I got it handy here. It's got, you know, the old Rose Motel sign, right? Vacancy, pool, Psycho City, satellite and color. So this is all part of being an authentic band. You go on the road, you're a road band, right? Actually, the logo is still there, but it's really muted. But it's funny. You look at this, so... there is a song called Old Rose Motel. You know, maybe someday, Big Goodbye, Doctor Me. You got to have Doctor in there because of Humble Pie. You got to have Doctor on your bluesy hair metal album. Love Is a Lie. Get On Home. Home's got to be in somewhere in a bluesy hair metal album. Never Trust a Pretty Face. So everything on here is sounding, you know, this way. And, you know, kudos to Great White. I mean, they basically kept making lots and lots of records, and they did, you know, kind of keep exploring this bluesy thing that they more or less came by. They came by honestly, right? Mark Kendall, Michael Ardy, guitars, Audi. This is funny. Audie Desbrowes on drums, but gone is Tony Montana at this point. And I've seen some interesting sort of, you know, email things from my industry buddies saying, where is Dave the Beast Spitz, right? You know, he was, he's basically on here as a guest basis because of no Tony Montana, but otherwise it's a pretty authentic lineup for the band. But again, you know, they're going into this album. And, you know, it does still have kind of the big riffs and their hair metal stuff going on. But you can just tell, even when they kind of adjust the album graphics a bit. Now, mind you, this is 1992. But you could tell they're searching. They just know at this point. And the record label knows at this point. Everybody knows that they're just not going to be around for a long time, and it's not going to be great. So you know it's almost like these bands are somewhat freed up from the shackles of turning in you know, these big hits and these big videos, and they do explore music that they like. And Great White, like I say, comes to this bluesy hair metal Led Zeppelin-y thing very honestly, because that's what they were into. All right, so next selection. Take a listen to this. This is Poison with Bring It Home. There we go. There's the home thing again. Take a listen.
Here. Mr. Politician, just keep on dishing your shit for the TV screen.
So Bret Michaels is a funny one, right? You know, he's got the marbles in the mouth, the grunge Jarl, you know, that he's always kind of had, and it's so there is this Jarl thing that that Eddie Vedder was guilty of, right? But it's also something that's a little bit of a country western thing, isn't it? So Bret's coming at that, and Bret is a perfectly normal looking guy in a cowboy hat, right? He's got his little stylized cowboy hat, and his whole look is very Steven Tyler, but he's definitely, you know, a roots rocker, cowboy, John Bon Jovi kind of thing. Remember, John Bon Jovi did, you know, this kind of music on his own, on a solo album, I believe. It was pretty bluesy. But so Bret is a little bit of that kind of guy. And again, you know, where also does some of this come from? You know, it's a little more with Bon Jovi, but also with Poison. It does come from a little bit of that, you know, that heartland, the New Jersey Bruce Springsteen thing, or the John Cougar Mellencamp, John Mellencamp rootsy thing, Farm Aid, all that, right? Country Western. But so essentially, you know, once Poison gets up into this Native Tongue album, now granted, Richie Kotzen is the guitarist. This is the last before the long break. It's the one, you know, it's the one without CC DeVille. But what you hear across this album is again, a lot of Aerosmith, you know, because Poison is sort of the manufactured confectionery version of Aerosmith early on, right? Yeah, and very glammy, of course, too. But you know, 7 days Over You, Theater of Soul, you know, in a hotel in New Orleans, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? Stand is the big hit, and that's basically your acoustic heartland, you know, sappy hair metal ballad when you go into this blues zone, Until You Suffer Some Fire and Ice. But, you know, it's a pretty big album. And again, really, really, you know, deep into this thing, you know, and at this point, it's so funny how Cinderella and Poison basically follow this parallel career path deep into, you know, trying to get across that they have all this blues authenticity. Whether they do or not, you know, frankly, I don't think so, or didn't think so. I certainly didn't think so at the time, because I ignored these records. I did not really care for either of these bands a whole heck of a lot. My funny story with Poison, I suppose, is that I became a much more of a fan. Where's my little stack of stuff here? So, you know, I actually became more of a fan once I got to, you know, be interviewing them regularly and meeting them and being in person with them at Molson Amphitheater, at those big, you know, hair metal packages and stuff. So when the Greatest Hits album came out, I loved the rarities on that. I actually really liked Hollyweird. I thought that was a good album. And I really liked the stuff on, you know, Power to the People, Crack a Smile and More, you know. So I'm a weird Poison fan the same way I'm a weird Who fan, because I love Face Dances and It's Hard. But so it's almost like when Poison basically decided that we're just going to be Poison. And we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. And it was in the face of, you know, they were almost the band that was out there when hair metal made that little comeback, to be the band that unapologetically said, we're going to keep doing the same thing. And I thought, you know, these songs that they were doing in those later eras were better than the early stuff. But no, I just thought it was, you know, definitely they fit so much this okay, and we're into 1993, right? So again, they're a band that is in this zone that you know, if grunge isn't going to be becoming to us, and you know, Poison is one of these bands that did not ever try that sort of grunge root thing, the thing that is becoming to us is these blues roots. You know, whether like I say, how authentic it is or not, it's still something they could feel that we could try that is different from hair metal, that is also not grunge, right? So yeah, let's move on. Actually, yeah, I just wanted to mention, Ain't That the Truth as well. Very Aerosmithy. So the main band in terms of the theme of where does Poison come from? I would say again, it's Aerosmith. Bret Michaels is like the second coming of Steven Tyler, the band, second coming of Aerosmith. So this is their big source band. All right. So last one, take a listen to this. This is Choir Boys with Tramps and Thieves. Walk the walk, talk the talk. You was lost to me. If a sign, All right, so now we are also in 1993. This is the second and last Choir Boys, a.k.a. London Choir Boys album before they break up and they go away. And credit to them as well. They come back and they make a lot of records. I mean, they come back and are very, very prolific. But I hated this band when they first came out because they were so, basically, if you liked heavy metal or hair metal, this was the band, and it's fitting that they, I'm picking it as number five, because this is the band that said, let's just put almost all of that aside and literally just be the bluesy band. I mean, not even bluesy hair metal, but bluesy also, but still coming from this manufactured sort of hair metal world. I don't know, it's hard to explain. I just, they rubbed me the wrong way right from the start with 7 o'clock, Time to Party, or whatever it's called, right? And that album, A Little Bit of What You Fancy, I hated that title too, was just very annoying to me. I did not want to hear an even bluesier version of Cinderella or a bluesier version of Poison. And speaking of Cinderella, I mean, Spike on vocals sounds pretty much exactly like Tom Kiefer, that same inhuman, raggedy, very raggedy sort of voice. Janis Joplin, you might say, as a predecessor to this whole thing as well. But yeah, so where this band comes from, and they're a UK band, which is very different. I mean, there were very few UK bands of any sort of hair metal ilk that ever made it. Remember, what were they called? Angels? Little Angel? Wild Angel? Something like that. Oh, I can't, I'm forgetting. But, and there was Princess Tang, I think, was from there. And then even back to the New Wave of British Heavy Metal days, people started to try do hair metal, like Wrathchild and Shy and those kinds of bands. And Jaguar went light and Savage went light. But basically, hair metal and the UK did not get along. But this band was so, so bluesy. And a major label thing, and they had a lot of push behind them. Remember, Nigel Mogg was in the band, bass and vocals, and he's, I think he's a cousin of Phil Mogg. So where does this band come from? This band comes very, very directly, as you can hear in this song, from the Rolling Stones, Mott the Hoople. It's funny, I was talking to Pete Pardo. I've been going on a Sea of Tranquility show a fair bit, and we talked about there's got to be a few bands where you just try and try and try and you just don't like, but you're supposed to like. Mott the Hoople is kind of one of those. I love later Ian Hunter, but Mott the Hoople, not so much. So this is coming from a place of actual Rolling Stones, Mott the Hoople, Faces, certainly 70s versions of Faces, even Rod Stewart's solo, and even also in a way this kind of... I want to throw something later in here because there's a manufactured sense to it. So the bluesiest, most stripper blues that kind of Motley Crue ever gets, or Bon Jovi, this record's produced by Bob Rock. So that kind of doesn't make sense in all this, but it does make sense to the manufactured quote unquote feel of it. But yeah, there's Barrel House Piano, second track, White Trash Blues, right? This is almost like when you almost take this whole thing too far. You end up with Choir Boys, right? Okay, so that's it. That's it for this episode. I think we covered it pretty well. I wanted to mention a few other examples of bands that are somewhat in here, somewhat not. Kings of the Sun, Little Caesar, Rock City Angels. Remember those guys with the album and a half thing that they put out? Sea Hags, Faster Pussycat, XYZ. Now, some of this, like I say, there's the crossover with the dirty hair metal. But that's it. So hope you like this one. Like I say, it goes with that other episode, and it might even go again where maybe when I do the next thing, we're going to have four that kind of go together with this blues/metal sort of thing. There you go. I mean, if you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to Ko-fi, which rhymes with no fee, apparently, at ko-fi.com/MartinPopoff. Hit the red support button, and as they say over there, buy me a coffee. On that front, I want to thank for this episode James Beach, Roberto Vega, Leighton Kerr, Scott Dexter, Jeremy French, and Kevin Latham for their support of this show. You can go to martinpopoff.com for all my books. Obviously, yeah, PayPal button's there. I sign them, ship them all out of the office. A few things coming down the pipe for the end of the year. But right now I've got the Maidens and the Priests and the Sabbaths, the UFOs, all that stuff's available. The new wave of British heavy metal stuff. The thrash stuff. So that's it. Until next time, go play some bluesy metal.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.